Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Batman, when I get out of jail, will you take me on a date?
We'll have plenty of time to think about that, Catwoman. Several years, I'm afraid.
If I were to kiss you, would you think I was a bad girl?
But no. No, of course not, Catwoman. Kissing is one of the most natural things in the world. Some people kiss almost every day, I'm told.
Well?
Come on, Batman, the police are here!
Boy, blunder.
Catwoman, may I take a rain check on that kiss?
Certainly, Batman. Anytime.
It's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So this year marks the 50th anniversary of the classic 1960s TV series Batman, and the legendary Adam West has been entertaining us for nearly six decades. And for me, Batman and the role Adam created was a big part of my childhood. The complete Batman television series is available on DVD and Blu-ray, jam-packed with all the kapows and campy goodness we all love watching. And we're thrilled that our old chum, Adam West, is joining us tonight. Adam, Happy New Year to you.
I had to. You really nailed that dialogue.
Thank you.
David, I couldn't have said it better than you did, believe me. That was the best introduction all day.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. I know you read Batman comics as they came out when you were about 11 or 12 years old, and I know you're a comic book buff yourself. How did you know, at what time in your life did you say, hey, you know what, I want to become an actor?
Probably in my early 20s.
Okay, so it was really after college and everything that you said, yeah, you know, this is the...
It really didn't happen earlier. I wanted to be in radio and TV and doing different things, and indeed I was for a while, but I never really concentrated or dreamed about being a bat.
Right, exactly.
or anything similar.
Well, you did some radio. I know you did that. When you joined the Army, you also started some military TV stations on both coasts. And it was the mid-1950s that you joined your buddy when you were living in Hawaii, and you joined him on a local kid show.
Yes, there was a very successful morning show called the Kini Popo Show, which is Hawaiian for on the ball. And he did the show, and he did it well for several years, and then he decided to move on somewhere else, so I got to do the show in his place. And it was just a chimpanzee, actually, and me. Yes, a chimp named Peaches, who was really a guy in a diaper.
Oh, jeez. And, that makes
very
for
unusual.
No, it makes for good morning television, I was going to say. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it happened so quickly, Adam, that when you started, you know, so many TV shows followed after that. You know, Maverick, Bonanza, Perry Mason, The Rifleman, The Detectives, Bewitched. You did movies. You did The Young Philadelphians with Paul Newman, The FBI Story with Jimmy Stewart, Tammy and the Doctor with Debbie Reynolds. And I might have seen you for the first time when I was really little in the Outlaws Is Coming with the original Three Stooges. You were a contract player for Warner Brothers, but you already had some really great exposure under your belt quickly.
Yes. I did all kinds of Westerns and so on, different characters at Warner's. And, then I did some very strange movies. For example, the one you mentioned, The Outlaws Is Coming with the Three Stooges.
But that was a classic, I got to tell you. I mean, people remember it. If they remembered any of those post-color Stooges movies in the 1960s, probably the most memorable one was that one because we knew it was a young Adam West.
Well, and it was, a pretty big picture. in color, and one of their last movies, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Okay, so now you're doing all this. How did you eventually get the role of Batman? How did that start, Adam?
They had seen a commercial that I did.
Nestle's Quick.
Yeah, Nestle's Quick, and I played a character called Captain Quick, and he was a spoof on James Bond, kind of tongue-in-cheek, and they said that's the kid that could do Batman.
Wow. And the rest was history. Well, there was a Batman serial in the theater in the 1940s, a couple of them actually that were long forgotten. But I mean, they came and left pretty quickly. But this
I was too young to even see them.
Yeah, right. You were. And this TV series though introduced the character to really millions. I mean, this was the one that really put Batman on the map.
Yes. And it sold a lot of comic books, you know, really revived that comic book thing, and sold a lot of TV sets.
It did. Oh, it absolutely did. And it's amazing to me because the comic books that were out back then were still kind of the classic comic books that we all grew up with. And it was only recently that Batman 66 came out. From DC Comics that has your likeness in it. I mean, that's the first time I've ever seen it in a comic book like that.
Well, it's happening more and more. And I think it's, you know, so much time has gone by. And as a senior superhero, this is a great tribute.
Absolutely is. And, you know, there's a Chicago connection to the beginnings of Batman on ABC. Yale Udoff, who was an ABC executive, attended a party at the Playboy Club in Chicago where they were playing the old serials that we were just talking about in the club.
Yeah.
And that gave him the idea to kind of push it, to take it to ABC and do something with it.
They were so attracted to it and amused by it that their hunch paid off.
It did. It absolutely did. Who decided to play the role of Batman in the series itself a little campier? Was it yourself? Was it William Dozier? Was it kind of a group decision that this is where we were going to take this series?
Well, we shaped the show as a social satire and a tongue-in-cheek comedy, really, for adults. And not for children, you know, they could enjoy all that other stuff. But as you got older, you caught the references and the gags. And I think it was Lorenzo Semple Jr. who wrote those first scripts. And our late executive producer, Bill Dozier, and myself. And we just got together and decided on a tone for the show.
Now, you did the pilot with Frank Gorshin as the Riddler, one of the first villains we'll talk about. Did some of the fans, when the series first came out, did they expect it to be more serious, like Superman and the Lone Ranger, than what was portrayed?
Well, I think it probably did. And among certain people at the studio who didn't understand
right.
what we were doing.
Right.
And it took, you know, several months of just doing our thing to convince them.
Now, the show I know was going to be an hour-long show, but it was decided to split it up into two nights as a cliffhanger, which I don't think anyone has done even since then. With the television series, it kind of brought back the old movie serials of, you know, you were kind of at the edge of your seat and you didn't have to wait a whole week to get the ending.
Yeah, that was the homage to DC Comics and the old comic books.
Well, I'll tell you what, stick around.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Much more ahead with Adam West next on 720 WGN.
Number one, the Riddler. Question. Who's going to make the feathers fly and knock Batman and Robin out of the sky? Number two, the Joker. Have you heard this one? It'll kill you, Batman. Number three, the Penguin.
There are two eggs this wily bird is going to scramble, Batman and Robin.
Number four, the Catwoman.
I know that Batman and Robin will swallow the bait. And when they do, I'll be rid of that dynamic duo once and for all. The Catwoman is not like the others. I'll show you how to clip Batman and Robin's wings. I will prevail. Oh, joy, success, and revenge. All wrapped up into one sweet package.
People watching the show, Adam, you know, they all wanted to ride in your Batmobile. They all wanted to slide down the pole from the library to the cave. It was every kid's dream. that watched you on the show, and you had a an amazing group of people that you got to work with as well. I know you've had a great friendship with Burt Ward over the years. He was a great on air companion, wasn't he?
He really was. You know, he got it from the beginning, and he had this wonderful energy and curiosity and kind of excitement about him in the role, and it worked.
And there were the villains, too, and that was, you know, there was a couple different...
They were great.
Yeah, they were, and there was a couple different, you know, there were the villains, the people walking on the walls when you were climbing the buildings, but let's talk about the villains. Burgess Meredith as the Penguin.
He was probably one of my three favorites. He was such a fine actor, and he brought so much comedy to it, you know, with that long cigarette holder and
right.
so on, and his attitude. He didn't need to spit out live fish. He was just erudite and a raconteur and terrific, yeah.
Cesar Romero is the Joker.
Yeah, great energy.
Great, absolutely. And then you had three Catwomen, both on the show and in the movie. You had Julie Newmar, you had Eartha Kitt, and Lee Merriweather, who did the movie version.
Wasn't Batman lucky?
He was. I think there was a little crush on Julie Newmar.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, it could have been. You know, she was with us the most.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think people look forward to certain villains on the show. I mean, just as a regular a viewer, you know, you got used to these villains. You got used to the actors that played them, and they all wanted to see this interaction with you.
Yes. You know, because the show was hot and fun and gave them a chance to play characters certainly bigger than life and very colorful, you know, everyone wanted to do it.
Yeah, you had Mr. Freeze played by George Sandoz, Otto Preminger, and Eli Wallach. You had Victor Bruno, who, you know, these roles were just amazing as King Tut. You had David Wayne as the Mad Hatter, Vincent Price as Egghead, Milton Berle as Louis the Lilac, Tallulah Bankhead as the Black Widow. I mean, people kind of clamored at this day to play those roles.
But, you know, even as you talk about it, mention their names, they're wonderful memories because these people were so great at what they did.
Well, I will tell you, you set the stage for that. And the sets,
thank you.
Absolutely. The sets were just as much as part of the excitement as the people in the show itself, including all your appendages and, of course, the tool belt and so forth. It was so iconic.
There was nothing like it to date. And I don't think there still is, you know, anything quite like that.
The Batmobile, so iconic, just sold for $4.2 million. I know there's a few of them out there, but what was considered one of the originals that you drove in, $4.2 million, that alone should tell you the popularity of this
it's
show.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the world's most famous car.
It is. It is to me.
I had a chance to drive it for 3 years.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Hey, you know, I run an ad agency during the week, and in my office sits one of the model Batmobiles from the 1960s, because it's just such a memory from my childhood. Then in the third season,
sure.
You guys brought along Batgirl to kind of shake things up a little bit.
I don't know. How do you feel about that?
You know, I love the series so much. I don't think I have a negative feeling about any of it. A lot of people say it was kind of a jump the shark moment, like why add the third character? Weren't we satisfied with Batman and Robin all by himself?
Yeah, but that's what I wanted to hear, because I've heard the negative things.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you that the show stood on its own merit for the time it was on, and adding Batgirl didn't hurt it at all.
No, I don't think so at all. And even the biggest stars of the day, Adam, wanted to open up that window as you and Robin climbed the wall.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that was fun.
I'm looking at this. Jerry Lewis, Dick Clark, Van Williams, Bruce Lee, Sammy Davis Jr. You know what I did? And I suggest this to folks, too, because you can find a lot of these clips not only on the obviously on the DVD that's coming out. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, there's a couple clips, too, previewing it on YouTube. All I did was turn my laptop on its side to see really how you climb that wall. And that was the fun of the whole thing, you know? I mean, you kind of knew you were struggling up that rope to get up that wall that, you know, is he really struggling? Right. How is he really doing that? And you know, the people coming out the window were always at an unusual angle. But,
yeah, but it's fun to hear you say you could turn your laptop on its side.
which is what I would assume the way you did that. And then after 2.5 seasons, and this is the other thing, 2.5, 3 seasons, you must have some favorite episodes yourself, Adam.
I think the first ones.
Early on?
The first ones with Frank as Riddler.
Yeah, he was amazing. I mean, they really established, you know, and it's funny, every movie, Adam, that has been done since then, every comic book, every animated Batman, they're all based more so on this 1966 series than even on the comic books themselves, because it set a precedent.
It really did. It set the tone.
But after 2.5 seasons, the show was canceled by ABC. It was picked up by NBC because it was promised a 4th season. And then it was dropped again. What exactly happened?
Well, they had already destroyed some of the expensive standing sets. And so the new folks figured they didn't want to buy that or build new ones. And I think it was that simple from what I heard.
Wow.
It would have been too expensive.
Yeah, what a shame. Now, you know, right after the show, and I've heard you talk about this before, Adam, that, you know, you felt typecasted a little bit.
Yes, after, because, you know, it's the typecasting.
Yeah.
And it made it difficult to do other things for 4 or 5 years. So, you know, I just kept plugging away doing theater and whatever.
Yeah. But then, of course, you've done countless of other TV shows and movies and theaters since then, you know, and lending your iconic voice. And Adam, I'm sure people who are listening right now, I don't even have to say I'm talking to Adam West, just hearing your voice itself is so iconic, and lending it to such shows as Family Guy, which I just love, The Simpsons, animated Batman series. There was a handful of Disney films. Do you enjoy the voiceover work?
Very much. And as a matter of fact, I'll be doing more Family Guy.
Are you?
today.
Today you're doing some more Family Guy. I loved hearing that. Okay, great. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
As the crazy mayor.
Love it. Love the character, too.
Thank you, David.
Absolutely. And now, finally, and I mean finally, because this series has been bootlegged. You could buy that movie, the Batman movie, for years, but it's been bootlegged, and you can get this in China. And some guy taped it off his VHS tapes, and it's just the absolute worst. And if you wanted to watch it, you have to watch it syndicated. And now, the complete series, all 3 seasons, 120 episodes on DVD. That's pretty cool.
Beautifully remastered, you know, produced. It'll just knock your socks off.
Oh, it's great to hear. 60, you know, so the fully remastered, 3 hours of bonus content. It says the Adam West Naked DVD. What are we going to see there, Adam?
Well, anything you've ever imagined about the series.
So it's interviews with you. Do you walk us through the show? And...
Well, what happened is, I reveal all you ever wanted to know about backstage and the making of the show.
Oh, that's fabulous. Oh, that's absolutely fabulous. Then you got the original 1966 Batman movie, of course, that you did.
Yes.
With the iconic shark moment, which,
right.
which was very real.
Yes, I still have the scar. But it's all part of the package.
It is all part of the package. And a detailed episode. And then you get a show script, which is cool, from the episode The Joker's Wild, and a personal letter from you. How can you beat that?
And also, the little car.
Oh, right, the Batmobile. You get a little Batmobile, too. Absolutely.
And you have a button that you can press for the music.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It's a fun package.
Yeah. Now... Yeah. You know, I have to ask you, you know, Batman versus Superman, who's going to come out ahead?
I have no idea. I think maybe a Batman could get a little tricky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, he would have to do something deceptive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
Superman has powers that can't be denied.
Right. you can own the entire 12-DVD classic collection of the original Batman series. And Adam is such a big part of this, you know, with the Adam West Naked DVD, you know, the personal letter, all this other great stuff that's part of this package, and an original Batman Batmobile as well. And it's available on DVD wherever DVDs are sold. And for more on Adam, keeping up with him and what he's doing, and he's, as he said, he's got new Family Guys coming up as well. You can visit AdamWest.com. And Adam, again, a thrill for me, and I'm sure our listeners, to have the opportunity to spend some time with you tonight.
Well, David, thank you very much. I mean, you've been remarkable in your observations. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
You bet, David.
All right, much more ahead on 720 WGN.